The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Everyone, this is Victoria Porter. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies for you to get healthy hot springs. Today in the studio, I would like to welcome Walika Morgan. She is a licensed professional counselor working in Arkadelphia, I believe. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes. So tell our listeners a little about yourself, what you do, and where you're working at.
So as you were saying, my name is Walika, and I'm a licensed professional counselor at Refuge Counseling, where I work in the evenings and weekends, which works out great because it allows a lot of clients to access services that would ordinarily not be available to them because of their work or school or just hectic schedules. And then also I work at Henderson State University in the Student Health and Wellness Center, where I've been a therapist for about 14 years.
Oh, wow. Wonderful work. And like you said, I love this evening and weekend option. It's such a challenge. I know myself, you know, the latest appointment, you know, that I take is 5:30, you know, and that rolls around till 6 or 7, you know, before you get home. So I commend you for that, you know, wonderful hours. It's definitely needed. Mm-hmm. So we have a really wonderful topic that we're going to talk about today. Imposter syndrome. That is the term that we hear a lot. I think it's a, you know, kind of a hot topic in media and social media and things like that. So I know I was looking for someone to come and speak about this topic, and I knew through a network, right, a therapist network, someone said, you know, she's working at Henderson. She might be someone that would know a lot about this. So, and whenever I spoke to you, said that it is something that your college students are dealing with. So just speak to that a little bit. First, let's, in your mind, define what imposter syndrome is, if you don't mind to do that. And then just kind of speak to it a little bit, what you are seeing.
Oh, absolutely. So imposter syndrome is a feeling that one is fraudulent, and that at any moment they will be exposed as a fraud. That could be professionally, it could be academically, it could be within relationships. It can impact any part of their lives where they feel as though they're inadequate. They don't measure up to what they think they should be. And I do recognize that this is something that is a hot button issue right now. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of articles on it. There are a lot of conversations being had about it. But it's something that's been around for a long time. And I see it a lot, particularly in college students, for a lot of different reasons. I have a lot of first-generation college students who do not have anyone that they can identify with who has had the college experience before. And because of that, they are entering into a new environment where they don't feel connected because they have not had anyone to help them understand what to expect.
Kind of model what that is like, yeah.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, when we learn how to do anything in life, we usually learn from our families. If we want to know how to ride a bike, we usually learn that from a mom or dad or older sibling. And if they have not had something modeled for them, then it's hard for them to envision themselves in that role. And so the lack of having someone they can identify with is a common issue. And then also, I see it a lot when my students get to the point where they're about to graduate. So a lot of seniors who are about to enter the workforce, who know that they have done academically what they're supposed to do, and they're proud of that achievement, but now there's anxiety as they enter into the workforce, wondering if they're prepared enough, wanting to know if they know everything they're supposed to know before they enter that environment. And of course, we know that it's impossible for them to know everything about a field that they're just getting started in, but they have that expectation on themselves, and that creates that imposter syndrome phenomenon.
Here's my question. Is this not something we have all experienced throughout our lives? And now perhaps it has a term,
mm-hmm.
versus, so you've worked in this student counseling for 14 years. It's not something that just happened, right?
Correct.
So you've been seeing it the entire time. So why is it suddenly now called imposter syndrome, and it's suddenly this hot topic? And I think that's where, for me, a lot of what I try to do on here is normalize what people are going through. And I have had that experience of not knowing in all kinds of jobs, mm-hmm. right? Whenever you get my first job was a cashier in a grocery store, mm-hmm. right? I had no clue what I was doing. I felt like totally lost and, you know, anxious, and I didn't want to do that. So is imposter syndrome different than that, in your opinion?
I think it's the same thing. I think maybe because of conversations taking place with mental health, which I'm so happy to see that we're bringing things into the forefront and we're starting to have conversations to release that stigma, because it is a very common phenomenon. But actually, the term came from a study in 1979 when they were actually, it was about women who were entering the workforce. And so a lot of women who were working in professions that were traditionally male dominated were feeling this. And so that's where the conversation started. But as we know, it really extends to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has experienced it, particularly people who are minorities,
yes.
in whatever area they're going into, for the same reason that I was referring to when I was talking about college students. Anyone who's going into an environment where they feel like they're going to be that's not diverse, where they feel like they might not be represented, and they don't have a model, a lot of times that is their experience when they're in that environment. So it's absolutely not a new phenomenon,
yeah.
but I think it's one that has a new name that is being talked about, and I think that is the amazing thing about these kind of conversations, because we are normalizing something that people often experience, mm-hmm. but rarely talk about. I mean, who's going to talk about the fact that they feel inadequate on a job when they've been hired to perform that job?
Right. Here's my feeling about that, though. Like you were talking about the women entering the workforce with men, the women weren't the problem. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you're surrounded by other people who make you feel like you are not qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's certainly, that's probably a whole other podcast that we could get into. Right. But I think that there's part of that. I'm a huge fan of Brené Brown. She has a lot of books and information out there. She has a really famous TED Talk about vulnerability. And to me, that is kind of the heart of what we are talking about. Is it okay for me to be vulnerable enough to say, you know, I'm really anxious about entering this field. I don't feel well prepared. And having people around you in your system that will acknowledge that and encourage you and say, we've all been there. You know, here's a mentor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if we set up some mentoring type programs to help ease people into those positions. But yeah, we've all felt that way. And even here in this podcast, you know, we have a lot of therapists that come on and they will say, I had one just last week who did marriage and family therapy. And he came out and felt like, okay, I really don't know what I'm doing and I need to have some more education, right? So that's, to me, that's kind of that feeling,
mm-hmm.
right? So what do we do with that feeling?
We talk about it. We create environments that make others feel comfortable having those conversations. I think we as therapists do that because that's what we're trained to do. But it's something that other people can do as well. People can get validation from their families. They can get it from mentors, as you mentioned. It's important when people enter the workforce that they understand that as a new hire in a new position, freshly out of college, or even if they've been out of college for a while and they're changing job roles or they're transitioning to new positions, that they're not going to understand everything initially. And there's a training period that takes place. And it comes from a place of the feeling of being inadequate, comes from a place where they're comparing themselves right. to other people.
Right.
Other people who may have had more experience in the field, and they're comparing themselves right out of the gate as before they've had an opportunity to experience anything,
yeah.
they're expecting themselves to be at that level. So mentorship is very important.
And the main point about that is, those people all started and felt the same way that you do in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we feel like whenever we look around at other people, we think, oh, well, they must have it together better than I do. Or, you know, they have this really nice house and this really great job, so they have something that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But really, as therapists, we all know that's not true.
How many steps do you take if you have a rock in your shoe? Not many. Well, if you have to walk on a prosthetic leg that does not fit, it is like walking with a rock in your shoe. Although there are many innovations when it comes to prosthetic feet and knees, the comfort of a prosthesis begins with the fit of the socket. Michael Kenny is a certified prosthetist who has been walking on a prosthetic leg since he was 16 years old after losing his leg to a motorcycle accident. He is committed to fitting prosthetic legs so they are comfortable, intimate, and optimize ease of walking. Motility Prosthetics has been in Hot Springs since 2015, but Michael Kenny has been building legs for over 25 years. All fabrication is done on site. There are no delays from having to ship to a fabrication house. Adjustments can easily be made on the spot. Motility means the spontaneous ability to move. At Motility Prosthetics, we want you to be able to walk on your prosthetic leg with a sense of spontaneity. Call for a free consultation, 501-620-4800.
So speak to your college students who were, you know, working through this, this anxiety. I know, and I have counseled a few college students before whenever we lived elsewhere that and this is a huge anxiety provoking moment that first am I going to get a job and then am I going to be able to perform that job.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great topic that kind of bounces off of this imposter syndrome. So how do you help someone who may be feeling that way? Because we're about to graduate in December, another, you know, another, and even in high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
High school students feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, helping them understand that this is a normal experience.
Yeah.
This is a normal part of their development, and allowing them an opportunity to really embrace that. Because when they're experiencing this alone, and when it's in secrecy because they're afraid to share it with other people, it really fuels that stigma.
Mm.
It really fuels that insecurity. And when they talk about it, it gives them an opportunity to get validation from others.
Well, and I do think we have to speak to that not all organizations are open to this, you speaking, this vulnerability of like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, right? So I think that's why it's great. To find a therapist, even once you graduate. I know college is wonderful at providing, you know, counseling on campus. But following through with somebody, and maybe it's, you know, just another college friend who is starting out or something, right, that you can discuss these feelings with. Because it's true. There are places in the workforce that may not be open to you voicing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think because of that, that's why so many people are uncomfortable opening up and talking about it. Because when you enter a new workforce, you don't really know who you can talk to, who you can't talk to. You don't know the culture to know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So there's a lot of learning that is taking place. And then once you become comfortable in the environment, it may not be one that's supportive to your vulnerabilities. So it's important to have people you can talk to. If there are areas that a person feels incompetent in their field, if they notice that they're going to be working on something doing a skill that they don't feel competent in, then it's okay to learn. It's okay to ask questions. And it's okay to have continuing education or opportunities to learn so that you can educate yourself on things and then you can feel more comfortable with your abilities because you have more information.
I have a phrase that I say, the power is in the doing. And we think that we aren't capable, therefore I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kind of push yourself out there and go ahead and go for it. True, you may struggle. You may have to get some help, but it forces you to grow, to learn. And then you're like, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through the struggle to get that power, right? Mm-hmm. The people who we look up to who have been in their fields for years, that feeling that they have comes from the experience of doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make that leap and just go ahead and do it anyway,
right.
Even if we don't feel prepared.
And if we look at people who are successful, one thing that they'll tell you is that they made a lot of mistakes to get there.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah, and sharing that is so important and so empowering because we learn that making mistakes is part of that process. We tend to want to stay in our comfort zones and just do what we're comfortable with. And in order for us to learn something, a lot of times we have to have something that forces us to get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is having something happen, like being in a new environment, transitioning through life, and understanding that this is part of the process, that making mistakes is how we learn to do something different. And we have to experience that discomfort of that in order to learn. We learn the most when we're uncomfortable.
That's so hard though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We don't like it, but we learn the most when we are put in a position where we have to figure something out.
Yeah.
It causes us to be creative. It causes us to exercise parts of our brain that we don't exercise sometimes when we're comfortable. And so it allows us an opportunity to do that.
To grow,
mm-hmm.
develop that character, and become that person, right?
Right.
That feels like, and I know whenever I talk to people about even just coming on this podcast, you know, some people are just like, oh, I just, you know, I don't want to speak. But the reality is whenever you are passionate about something, it just comes natural,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, for these people who are heading out there, you know, find, even if it's I think therapist is a great example. As we know, there are probably 500 different directions you can go in,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a licensed professional counseling or a social work degree. But whenever we find that area that we're really passionate about, we will develop that expertise,
mm-hmm.
and we will be able to talk about it. I mean, we're not uncomfortable talking about it. If you came in and asked me about EMDR, I'm going to be really uncomfortable because that is not my area of expertise, you know. So I do think you made a very interesting and valid point, though, about, you know, imposter syndrome and how it can affect racial and cultural identities different, right? So can you speak to that specifically in terms of, I mean, is it the same process or or is there more, or shall I say, less tolerance of the vulnerability, do you think?
I think that is a very excellent point to address, because there could be less tolerance to the vulnerability, because across cultural lines, people express that differently. People express their vulnerabilities differently, and it's received differently. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that has to be taken into consideration. But I think the same process exists to overcome the to overcome that feeling of being an imposter. But it might, I think it's going to be slightly different because the because of the cultural differences.
Yeah.
So I think there are parts of it that will.
And I can see that. And you know, whenever I say, is it something that we've all experienced? Mm-hmm. I think you do have to, because, you know, I am a white female, and I have not walked those, walked that path. Mm-hmm. I don't know that if someone of a different race feels the way that I feel, perhaps it is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
My white privilege here, enabling me to say, well, we're all feeling the same thing, but probably not, right? Mm-hmm. Honestly, we're probably not all feeling the same thing. So I think we do have to validate that difference there.
And in therapy, there's an opportunity for them to express that vulnerability that they may not feel in their workplace. Mm-hmm. And so that's why therapy is so important. And that's why, you know, when they're locating mentors or they're considering people they might open up to, I mean, they have to be selective about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the anxiety, right?
Right.
But let's just make a important point. Your therapist is always a good person, too.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have to worry about them talking to the boss or, you know, how anyone's going to perceive you in the work environment, because, you know, we can't say anything. Right. So.
And then even as therapists, we encounter cultures that maybe we're not familiar with. And it's okay for us to be open-minded. I think that's really important. We can't be expected to know every single thing about every single person's experience, to know their cultural background. That's why we allow them to educate us. A lot of my experience as a therapist is learning from my clients.
Absolutely, Yeah, it's truly a give-and-take relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so as always, I'm always like, I can't believe we're out of time already. So you said you work at Refuge Counseling in Arkadelphia, right? So and also at Henderson. So do you have social media websites for those in particular, or how does that work?
So for Refuge Counseling, we have a website, refugecounselingar.com. And potential clients can also reach out to our administrative assistant at 870-293-2054. To schedule appointments and inquire about our services. And then also they can look up my information on Psychology Today, where it'll give my bio and profile information. And if they are currently enrolled as students at Henderson State University, then they can go to our website, hsu.edu. And if they click on the Current Students tab, there is a tab that says Student Health and Wellness. And then if they click on that and fill out the forms, then someone from our staff will reach out to them to schedule an appointment. We also, at Henderson and at Refuge, offer telehealth services. So that's something that's available, especially on campus. If we have students that never come to campus, but they're enrolled in online classes, then our services are available to them as well.
That's wonderful. Such a need. And this is available at pretty much every college, right?
It is. It's available in some capacity at every school. Now, it might look a little differently depending on the availability of services and what their staffing looks like.
Yeah.
But it is something that's available on every campus.
And I think it's such a great place to start with counseling. Just normalizing that, and then moving forward as you, you know, go out into the workforce, and not just work. Like you said, imposter syndrome can be in our relationships. We've kind of focused on, you know, work in this podcast more, but how would that manifest in a relationship?
If a person has not ever experienced what a healthy relationship looks like they haven't been exposed to it growing up, or they only have an idea of what a relationship should look like, but they don't really, they haven't had the experience of being in one, then it's hard for them to conceptualize how they're supposed to act or behave or what the expectations are of them in a relationship.
And I can see how that might happen in terms of, you know, you have, if you've entered this relationship and perhaps you feel like the person you're in the relationship is better than you, or maybe you feel like you don't quite meet their standards, or maybe their family standards, right? I think that's a lot of the things that we see, that they're, you know, the person that I'm in love with, their parents are critical, or you look up to them in such a way that makes you feel not good enough.
Right.
So much good information here. But again, the basic thing that we are trying to, that Walika and I are discussing here today, is that let's normalize these feelings. Let's normalize this conversation, what you're going through. Many, and probably most people have gone through that as well. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And it's wonderful to have these conversations. There's so many things that we can resolve if we just talk about it. Just through conversations like this. Just having back and forth discussions, and not necessarily that everybody just agree 100%, but just that that we're having conversations about it, because someone else may have an experience that contradicts something I've said today. And that's okay. Because that's that person's experience. And that's valid for them. And so just being able to talk about it is important.
Walika, licensed professional counselor, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs from the Razorback Camper Cell Studios. Join us every Wednesday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy.